Something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Myrie here and I'm thrilled to have Catherine O'Keefe on the line from the menopausesuccesssummit.com. Morning Catherine, how are you doing?
Great Trina, thanks a million and thanks for having me on.
Oh, not at all. So there's myths around menopause that we need to kind of smooth out today and find out the truth, really, because I know you're going to be having a big event on the 25th of September, an online event. Tell me about that, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like education, myths, like education is so important when it comes to menopause. So the event, the Menopause Success Summit that I have organised, which is happening on the 25th of September, is really to break down the myths. It's to really provide, you know, kind of the A to Z of menopause, the factual, practical information that women need to hear in relation to how they can thrive through these years. So we're bringing together like national and international experts on all aspects of menopause, from HRT to weight gain to brain fog, you name it, because look, it can be really challenging, and what can make it even more challenging is the misinformation and the confusion that women often find themselves in. So really the day is all about empowering and providing as much information as we can.
You've got some great guests on there as well. I'm very familiar with a lot of the names because they've been regulars on this show, actually. The likes
great.
Of Dr. Mary Ryan, endocrinologist. She's just incredible, so knowledgeable. Tom Coleman, the sleep expert, was only on with us last week. And I see you have Dr. Zoe Williams, who a lot of people will know from This Morning, on the television show This Morning. She's the doctor on This Morning. What a great one to get.
Yeah, no, we're thrilled. We're thrilled with that. And yeah, no, like what we did was, you know, I went out to all my followers and I said, look, what aspects of menopause do you want to hear about? And I based the whole day on that. So I got loads of feedback, you know, saying they want to hear more about nutrition and so forth. And Dr. Zoe Williams is going to be talking to us about nutrition and optimum health. So every part of the day is really tailored around what people want to hear about. And we're also, you know, we're thrilled that we have Irish supplements and brand Clean Marine Menamin as one of our main sponsors. But, you know, it's just going to be a day of just really empowering women. And we also have Dr. Lisa Moscone. I'm not sure if you're aware of her, Trina, but she is leading. Oh, yeah. she's fabulous. So she's leading cutting edge research in relation to women's health in New York, and she just is a powerhouse in terms of cognitive function for women through all aspects of life, but very much looking at and researching the menopause years. Yeah. So we're really just kind of getting the latest information that can be shared with everybody, and then the added benefit is you're sitting in the comfort of your own home while you listen to all of these voices, and yeah, we're broadcasting live from recording studios in Dublin.
Do you mind now, Catherine, if I go through some of the myths that I've heard about menopause, and you might help us clarify these or not? So the first one, I guess, and this might sound mad saying this, but menopause, a myth, menopause only affects women, because in fact, it actually has a huge effect on the family, doesn't it?
Well, there's a few things there. So menopause doesn't just affect women. Men actually experience a form of menopause as well called andropause, which is primarily due to the testosterone decline. So it's not just women per se from that perspective, but also you're totally right. I mean, the menopause transition for women impacts the whole family, and it impacts society because it can impact your work colleagues, it can impact your partner, it can impact your kids. I always say, you know, menopause has no boundaries. So it touches on all aspects of a person's life. And I think, you know, that's where it's really important that we talk about it, that we have the education out there, and that it's an open conversation, just the exact same like pregnancy is, you know. And it's really important, because if you normalize the conversation with those close to you, then it just becomes an acceptable form of life. It's inevitable for all women. So it needs to be something that we open up the conversation. Now, that definitely is happening, and it has been happening slowly over the last 5 years. So I think all of that has to be welcomed, you know, and particularly the conversation in the workplace is also opening up as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah. When we say that it affects the whole family, Catherine, in what ways does it affect the family, would you say, most of all?
Well, I think it's, you know, if you think about it, depending on the symptoms that a person may be experiencing, you know, anxiety will, you know, if a woman's experiencing anxiety, that is going to impact on relationships. If you're experiencing changing moods, you know, maybe it's low mood, maybe it's rage, maybe it's frustration, that's going to impact again. It'll impact in the workplace, it'll impact at home. It'll impact maybe how you interact with your partner or your kids. So it really does impact greatly on your relationships. And the other thing is that anxiety being such a large part of menopause, if you're experiencing anxiety and maybe a form of what's called social anxiety, which is very common in menopause, you may actually kind of stay away from relationships. You may actually decline social invites. You mightn't want to go out as much as you've done before. And that can become quite challenging and quite difficult.
Another myth as well, menopause starts in your 50s, Catherine. Can you clear this one up for us?
Yeah, definitely not the 50s. Look, the average age of menopause is 51. And that's really the cessation of where the monthly cycles periods stop. But really, to be really honest, Trina, it's all starting kind of from the mid to early 40s, which is perimenopause. And that's where you have the gradual decline in the hormones results in a gradual introduction of symptoms. So typically what happens is kind of, you know, might be 44, you know, the average would be 45. Might be that, you know, you start to feel a little bit less confident, maybe a little bit more anxious, and tends to be more primarily on the emotional, the psychological aspects that things start to change. It's not necessarily that monthly cycles will change earlier on. It tends to very much for many women. It's the psychological aspects that start first. So that is why the perimenopause years are so important, because that's really where everything starts, and then it works its way and culminates into menopause.
Yeah. So that can go on for quite a few years before you're in actual menopause, the perimenopause.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're looking at, you know, you can average anywhere from 4 to 10. I've even seen 12 years. But, you know, the average would generally tend to be somewhere between 4 to 10 years. So as you can imagine, you know, now that's for natural menopause. If it's an earlier form of menopause as a result, say, of surgery or medical intervention, etc., then it can be much quicker. And that's often referred to as cliff edge menopause, because you're literally catapulted into it, you know, due to maybe cancer treatment or surgery and so forth. So that's a much more a difficult transition than natural form of menopause.
Can you still get pregnant, Catherine, during perimenopause?
You can. Yes, I'd say if we asked anyone listening to put their hands up for how many times they've done a pregnancy test, I'd say you get a fair few hands up.
Really? Okay.
Oh my God, it's the amount of women I've met over the years who have said to me, you know, they've bought so many pregnancy test kits because they, you know, because the periods start to go out of kilter, because you're not having them as regular, then all of a sudden, you might also have some symptoms that you think, God, that's like when I was pregnant, you know, a little bit of nausea, PMT thing, you know, things can just look different. You can still get pregnant. So that's why, you know, it is really important for women to be aware of that, you know, it doesn't mean once you hit 45 that it's the end of contraception, or that you don't need to be aware of that fact, because it can definitely happen.
Okay.
And I would definitely say there's been several, yeah, as I said, several pregnancy test kits sold on the back of perimenopause.
Isn't that interesting? Another one for you now, Catherine, that the first sign of menopause is hot flushes. Do all women get these, or is that just a myth?
Look, many women will get the hot flushes. Somewhere between 75-80% of women will experience hot flushes at some stage. It is definitely not the first symptom to come up for most women. It can tend to happen midway in the journey. It can tend to happen later on. It just depends, but it would be definitely more the psychological symptoms that start to happen first, and maybe a return of PMT. Like, you know, my own experience would be, I started perimenopause when I was 44. I'm 50 now. I've never had a hot flush, you know, so that's not to say I won't get you know, they might start in the next couple of years. You just don't know. Every single woman's experience of menopause is going to be different.
Yeah.
So the symptoms that, you know, one person will experience versus another are going to be completely different as well.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about the brain fog as well that women get. You know, they're in the middle of talking and they can't remember what they're about to say. They kind of lose their confidence in work and everything if they get that brain fog.
God, the brain fog's a big one. And, you know, it's interesting. I started a survey a couple of weeks ago about menopause in the workplace. And I was kind of asking, you know, what's the symptom you feel impacts you the most? And at the moment, like, there's hundreds of responses that have come in. But at the moment, that's the one that's leading. It's brain fog. Because if you have brain fog, your memory, your concentration is going to be impacted. And that means that you might make a mistake. It means that you might forget some basic information that you always know. And that, it impacts your confidence. It impacts your self-esteem. And, you know, it's a vicious circle. But the brain fog is definitely a big challenge, I think, for most women at some stage. And it's that whole thing of, you know, forgetting a word, forgetting someone you've just been introduced to, and you forget their name. That's extremely disconcerting. And then, you know, many women would also be afraid that, you know, is it early onset dementia?
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Because that, yeah, like it definitely is frightening. But the good thing, if we look at Dr. Lisa Moscone, who's going to be speaking at the summit, which is brilliant, she has her one piece of research that she's already released. She has concluded that the brain resets itself after menopause. So whilst for many women you go through the brain fog, etc., but that once everything settles down, the brain also settles down and the brain fog settles down. And she would say that that is the case for most women.
Okay. And at what age has it all normally settled down by?
Oh, gosh. Well, the average age of menopause is 51. So that'd be like the stop of the period. But then you can be a bit, you know, hit and miss for a year or two after that. Like, I'd love to say to you everything is calm by 55. But I've met women who are still getting hot flushes in their 70s, you know. So it's really, really hard to say. But I think many women would probably say kind of, you know, after 55, it tends to be calming down.
Just another myth here. HRT will give you cancer. We hear a lot about this, don't we?
Yeah, that's a big one. And look, when it comes to HRT, it is so important to be informed, because there's different forms of HRT and they all come with different guidance, different, you know, possible risks that you may need to take into account. But you may need to take those into account based on your personal medical history. And that is so, so important. And that's why it's really key to work with your experienced GP who understands menopause and who can guide you. Because the HRT of today is extremely different to the HRT of, I was going to say 20 years ago, but even of 10 years ago. I mean, the forms now, the transdermal forms of HRT are much more accessible. They're changing the whole time, as in, I mean, different options are becoming available as, I guess, more research is being done. And this is all positive, progressive steps forward. But the key with HRT is just being informed. It is really important, because in relation to the cancer risks, again, if you look at breast cancer, the risks of having your BMI over the recommended amount for your height and age, etc., is far, far greater than the risks of HRT. And the same for drinking excess alcohol. You know, so it's all about looking at it and taking it in perspective. Is really important.
Yeah, yeah, because we're less keen to lose the weight and yet we panic about things like HRT. Another myth for you, Catherine, bladder issues just happen with age and there's nothing you can do about that. Is there anything you can do about that?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that one, because when we look at the bladder, I mean, the bladder is hugely hormonal dependent. The whole pelvic area is. And bladder issues, vaginal dryness are extremely common in menopause. And yes, there are things you can do around bladder health. And I always advocate that women do kind of have a pelvic health physio in their support team, because it is really important to look after your bladder health, because the health of your bladder in your 40s and 50s is going to determine your health in your 70s and 80s. So we want to keep the muscles strong. We want to kind of make sure we're doing the, you know, pelvic floor exercises correctly, not the old fashioned way of grin and squeeze and all of this. So it's really important to kind of have those habits in your life. And I would say the other thing I would say linked with that is that, you know, UTIs, bladder infections can be very common, but often what it can be is that it can be due to vaginal atrophy, which is, you know, vaginal dryness. And that is so, so common. Often misdiagnosed as thrush, when in actual fact it is internal dryness and it needs a complete different treatment protocol to thrush. So it's that's a key one to be aware of as well.
I've got a final myth for you, Catherine. So you will absolutely gain weight during menopause. True or false?
Oh, Lord. Well, look, we will all gain weight as we get older. The fat distribution changes, but you have to take your lifestyle into account. And, you know, how are you eating? How are you exercising? You know, how are you sleeping? All of these things will have an impact. So it's not a foregone conclusion that, you know, that you will just continue to gain weight as you get older. Many women actually lose weight, and that becomes an issue because if they don't have enough weight on them, it's not good for their bone health if you become too thin. So I think it's just, you know, you have to be very mindful of the lifestyle aspects when it comes to weight, because yes, it is more difficult as we get older, weight management. But proactively, if you have the right steps in place and you're hitting it from, you know, from the food, from the life, from exercise and so forth, you can target it and you can manage it. It just takes more work, though. That's okay. The difference.
Well, if that is just a taster of the information you're going to get on this day, what a great day it's going to be. Catherine O'Keefe, the menopausesuccesssummit.com. It's happening on the 25th of September. You've got loads of speakers that are going to be talking all about menopause and really answering every question going, I suppose. People just go onto that website if they want to book a place. Is that it?
Yeah, just go onto the website and you can get your tickets there, and you'll also see details about it. We've a nice goodie bag coming together as well, and we've loads of prizes on the day. So yeah, it's going to be fantastic. It'll be full on interaction throughout the day. You'll have the ability to ask questions throughout the day. So it'll really just a brilliant opportunity to empower yourself with as much knowledge as you need for your menopause.
Catherine, thanks so much for all the info, and thanks for coming on. Hopefully we'll speak again.
Okay, thanks for having me.
This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.